You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Psalm 78, where it tells that whole scenario of where they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years because of their own, a wilderness of their own making. They didn't have to wander for 40 years. They could have gone straight into the promised land, but they limited God. In fact, that's literally what it says. It says they limited the Holy One of Israel. They provoked him. They tried him, and they limited the Holy One of Israel. Well, we're the ones that put the limits on God. It's not God that's limiting us. Are you with me? In fact, God takes the limits off us, if you want to know the truth. In fact, you find your potential in God. You're not strapped and hindered by God. You're set free and loose by God. If you know the truth will make you free, is what Jesus said. Didn't say it'd limit you. You know, you Christians, y'all just limit yourself. No, I don't limit myself. I am finding there are no limits. I'm finding that not only all things are possible with God, but all things are possible to him that believeth. I found that I put up with stuff, way too much stuff for way too long now that I'm a Christian. Are you with me? I was under the gun. I was actually limited before I got saved and got in the Word of God. Now the stops are off, praise God. Sky's the limit. Praise God, I can dream and I can see my dreams come true. I can not just hope, but I can put substance to my hope with my faith. Faith puts substance to things I hope for. Amen? But the problem with the Israelites, when you look at it, step back, there's a lot of things you could say, but obviously they didn't believe. But there's a reason they didn't believe. You know, they could see everything that God was doing undeniable. In fact, the Bible says they knew his acts, but it says Moses knew his ways. Interesting thing to say, isn't it? That you could actually be around what God's doing. You could admit that God does that, but you don't really know how he does it. You don't know his ways. And that would be the difference between Moses and, say, the children of Israel. Moses understood how God did things. He understood the way God did things. He understood that if you prayed and believed, God did things. Amen? Yes. If you trusted him, if you put your faith in him. They didn't get that. They saw God doing the things. They saw the 10 plagues that came on Egypt. They crossed the Red Sea, dry land. They ate manna from heaven. Are you with me? They saw the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. They knew his acts. And we can be aware of God's ability, God's acts, but not know how to make it happen, you know? Not know his ways. His ways are always ways of faith. That's where they always missed it. They never missed it for a lack of power. They never missed it because God didn't love them, wasn't strong enough, wasn't big enough. They missed it because they wouldn't believe him. Right. They just wouldn't trust him. Yeah. And that's what Hebrews, the third chapter, tells us. We went over that last week. It says they could not enter in because of their unbelief. They couldn't, because you cannot enter into the things of God unless you believe God. You know, those that say they can and those that say they can't are both right. Because if you don't think you can be happy, you're not going to be happy. You have to believe. You have to believe that God's word is true and that peace can come and that God will do what he says, because faith is how, that's the way God works. God's a God of order. Are you out there?
Yeah.
I mean, God is what he is, but he works in a certain way. And, of course, the way he works is through Jesus Christ and through your faith. If you cease to believe, then God ceases to work in your life. If you don't believe, get out of the mess you're in, you probably won't get out of the mess you're in. And so if you say, like I said, if you say you're never going to make it, you probably are never going to make it. If you say you're going to be miserable, you're going to be miserable. But if you say in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, I'm going to have peace. I'm going to keep my mind stayed on him like Isaiah 26:3 says, and he's going to keep me in perfect peace just like that scripture says, because I trust in him, because that's the rest of that scripture. I got peace in the name of Jesus. Well, you know what? That's exactly what's going to happen. Because as you believe, you access God, and as you believe, that's the way God works. He's looking for faith. He's looking for believers. See, we're not called unbelievers. We're called believers. That means we don't back up at the promise. We don't stagger at the promise. We don't waver at the promise. We don't doubt when God says something. We said, yes, Lord, I believe that. Remember the two blind men came to Jesus, and he asked me, he said, what is it you want me to do? And they said, we might receive our sight. And Jesus said an amazing thing, like, what does it matter what they believed? But I guess it did. Jesus said so. He said, do you believe I'm able to do this? Now, you'd think, this is Jesus. Who cares? If Jesus wants to do it, he'll do it, right? Well, yes and no. Jesus does want to do it, but he wants to do it if you believe it, and he doesn't want to do it if you don't believe it. So he does what he wants. Well, God's going to do what he's going to do, and there's nothing you can do about it. Well, I agree with that. God's going to do what he's going to do, and this is what he's going to do. He's going to do what you believe him for, amen. And there's nothing you can do about it. Yep. Y'all out there, you must believe. That's what God wants to do. God wants to do it if you believe him. God wants your will involved. God wants you involved. Amen? And so he asked these two blind men, he said, do you believe I'm able to do this? And they say, yes, Lord, or yea, Lord, you know. And he said, as you have believed, so be it unto you. One translation says, become what you believe. Boy, I like that. That potential was there. God was wanting, Jesus wanted to do something for him, but he needed them to believe, and he asked them, do you believe? And they said, yes, and that's all you need to hear. Are you with me? Because if they'd said, no, we don't, they'd have walked on their merry way blind as a bat. They wouldn't have got healed. And I'm sure it wouldn't have been in the scripture. I'm sure there's many cases where people walked away that we don't have recorded. Are you with me? Because that's not what God wants you to follow. He wants you to follow the examples of faith. We got enough examples of unbelief. Children in the wilderness, Jesus' hometown, which we may get into that today if we have time. But notice this, Jeremiah. Turn to Jeremiah, not the bullfrog. I'm dating myself. I actually went to a Three Dog Night concert back in the day. I don't remember a whole lot about it because back in that day, I didn't remember a whole lot of what I did back then. Anybody remember Three Dog Night? No, they were actually playing in Shreveport, Louisiana. We go to Shreveport and the Nacogdoches. I just spent the night in jail in Nacogdoches one time, back before I got saved. Spent the night in jail in Center one time too. But this is all B.C., before Christ. But yeah, I went to Shreveport. I forgot the name of the concert there. Okay, I'll quit. But that song, Jeremiah Was a Bullfrog, was a good friend of mine. That was the joke I was making. The younger generation may not know what I'm talking about, so I just want to make sure you understand. Jeremiah actually was a prophet of the Old Testament. And he was a young man that God called to be a prophet, and he actually rebelled. He didn't really want to do what God wanted to do, and God got on his case, and he repented and accepted it. In fact, when God called him, he said, I can't speak. I can't do this. I'm just a child. God said, don't say I am just a child, because you will go to whoever I send you to, and you will say whatever I tell you to say. I think that's real good. Don't say you're not what God says you are. Don't say you can't do what God says you can do. God's not happy with that. You need to say, I will do what God says I will do, and I will say what God says I will say. Amen? Yeah. Okay, and he said this in the ninth chapter. Y'all found it? Okay, chapter 9. I just told you. Jeremiah chapter 9. Y'all stay with me. Brent, I've been fighting this head cold thing for a few days. I'm not contagious, not running a fever or anything, but anyway, I'm just, you know, I'm running out of breath, and so my brain doesn't have a lot of breath in it, air in it, and so I'm not focused like I need to be focused here, but I know enough scripture to get through this message. Y'all hang in here with me. Jeremiah 9:23, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which executes loving kindness and judgment and righteousness in earth, for in these things I delight, saith the Lord. I want to submit to you, the problem the children of Israel have is the same problem we have sometimes. We don't have a problem with the Bible. We don't have a problem with the promises. The reason we can't believe the Bible or believe the promises is because we don't know who he is. Are you with me?
Yeah.
See, Moses knew who God was, and he knew his ways. Now, you can look at somebody's, you can look at buildings that people built and see the works of all kinds of people, but you still don't know those people, and you don't know how they did what they did. You can look at paintings, you can go to a list of anything you could come up with. A classic example, you can see movies and watch actors and actresses, and you don't know them.
Yeah.
You don't know them. You know their work.
Yeah.
Okay? But then they interview them, and you're thinking, they don't have enough sense to come out of the rain. They were like the hero of that movie. And yet in real life, they're not that way. All you saw was their work, but you don't know them. Hello. Yeah. And you'd probably be shocked by the some of the things they do and say, not on the movie screen, not on the, you know, whatever, because you're looking at their work, but you don't know them. You don't know their ways. But if you know them and you know their ways, are you with me? Then you don't have problem. You don't have a problem believing and staying. I don't have a problem with words if I know who spoke them. But people say all kinds of things. Boy, we just had a presidential election. Y'all probably didn't know that. But we just had a presidential election. I know it wasn't covered at all. Somebody got elected. In every single case, when people get elected, they have a long list of promises. And you'll find a lot of times, you know, a lot of times those promises aren't kept. Are you with me? In every single election, I'm not touting any party or any, I'm just talking fact here. Just some people just say anything to get elected on both sides of the party. It doesn't matter who it is, which party it is. But when they get in, they find out they really can't do that. Hello, promises are made. And often we'll elect someone because we believe they mean what they say. We hope they mean what they say. We are praying, oh God, please do what you say. Are you with me? And then it doesn't always turn out that way. Are you with me? And sometimes it's disastrous. Sometimes it's nothing was promised ever came to pass. That's happened many, many times. Sometimes it did pretty decent and sometimes it didn't do very good. Are you with me? But the problem with all this is we don't know those people. We're doing our best to figure out who they are. We're hearing all these little sound bites from pro and con, and, you know, both of them are probably exaggerated, and somewhere in the middle this guy sits or this woman sits. You don't know exactly where they are. But in time, you begin to know who they are, and then you begin to figure out whether you can trust what they say or not. And some of these people get elected, you after a while, you think, I don't believe a word they're saying. Or some of them, you'd say, hey, I think that's a pretty good deal. You know, that person really has a good heart and is trying to do right, and maybe they were hindered with, you know, other forces like Congress and Senate and Supreme Court, and they did the best they could do, but they really meant what they said. They held true. They tried. The more you know a person, the more you trust their word. You with me? See, a lot of these people are just in the mix, the Israelites. They're all part of Israelites. They came out there in the wilderness, and then when they saw the first opposition, because they really didn't know God that well. Joshua had spent a lot of time with God. Caleb had spent a lot of time with God. So he had no problem believing they could take the giants when they saw the giants and they saw the walled cities. They knew him. See? And this is the same thing with the word. We're not talking about you just being a word bird where you can just quote scripture. I can quote scripture. Goodness gracious. I can quote a lot of scripture. But it doesn't do me any good if I don't know the one who wrote it, the voice behind the verse. Amen. You got to hear the voice behind the verse. This is not a formula. It's not just a manual. Period. It is a manual, but it's a manual from God. It's a letter from God to us. It's God speaking to us. And if we don't know Him, we're not going to receive what we need to receive from Him. John 5th chapter. Turn there if you will. John chapter 5. See, we don't want to limit God. We don't want to limit God. We don't want to tie His hands. And to question Him is to limit Him. His word's true because He said it. Not the other way around. You know, we often say a man's as good as his word. But no, that's not true. That's really the opposite. It's true in one sense, but in another sense it's not. The word He says is only as good as the man. Right? It's not that a man's only as good as his word. I got that. That is integrity, keeping promises, doing what you say. That's called integrity. That's a man of your word. But the word's got to come out of the man first. And the man, if the man's no good, his words are no good. Yeah. Right? It's not the other way around. We kind of got it backwards. You need to know God. You don't need to know the scripture. Stay with me. You need to know God and then study His word. And when we trust God, we're not trusting His word, we're trusting Him. Yeah. My faith's in the scripture. Well, my faith's in God. of the Scripture. I'm quoting the Scripture, but I'm believing Him. You catch what I'm saying here? So my relationship with God has a lot to do with whether I'm believing God or not. My relationship with God, how I see Him or perceive Him, will determine whether I'm going to get a healer or not. I think every Christian would say they believe the Bible as a whole, that it's true. But then you come down to getting healed or getting a miracle, and then because they really don't know God or they don't, or their concept of God, it's not that they don't know Him, their concept is wrong. Their concept of God is that He may or may not do it. Okay? Because that's the concept of, that's the God. So no matter how many scriptures you share, their concept of God is God may or He may not do it. He might have a reason for not giving me the answer. Are you with me? But if your concept of God is that God does not say things idly, that God actually does love us, woha, take that to the bank, cash it, man. He really does love us. That God really does want us healed. That God really does want us to have joy. He wants us to have a good marriage. That's what God, that's the God I serve. That's the God of the Bible. That's the God I see. That's God. That's what He wants. So when I see His promise, I don't question whether it's going to happen or not because I know Him. It's not a matter of, you're catching this, because this is where we miss it, I think. And many times I've shared with people, scripture after scripture after scripture, and they'll say, well, yeah, I see that, and I believe that. I believe that God means that when He says that, but I mean, He may have another, all of a sudden they start off on who God is. And their concept's totally different than the way I see God. Now, I see God through Jesus. Are you out there? I think that's the clearest picture we could ever have. And so when I go to the Word and stand on a promise, I'm standing on the God that Jesus showed me. Amen. Who healed the sick, raised the dead, cast out devils, stopped storms, gave to the poor. Are you out there? Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. Who didn't make anybody sick, who didn't turn anybody away, who asked people if they believed, and if they said yes, they got it. Who was amazed at their faith, marveled at their faith, praised them for the faith, and rebuked them for their unbelief. That's what I see. That's how I see God. I see God as a God who loves it when you trust Him and believe Him, who rewards you when you trust Him and you believe Him, who does miracles for you if you'll just trust Him and believe Him. That's what Jesus did in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and that's what the apostles talked about when they wrote their epistles and letters, talked about Jesus, this Jesus that always did what He said. Hallelujah. So our faith's not in just a scripture. Let the wise man, let him glory in this. I know lots of scripture. No, did he know with me? Did he know with me? Are you out there? And in John, y'all found John 5? Y'all getting this? This is good stuff. This will help you. Because I think sometimes we're trying to make the scripture work, and we need to back off a little bit here and just begin to thank God for what He said. And trusting Him. Not just a formula that I'm saying and praying it right. Of course I want to pray and say it right, but I'm praying and saying it because He said it. And God, I thank You and I praise You and spend time worshiping Him and meditating on Him. He is the healer. He is the peace giver. He is the life giver. He loves me. I am not alone. I haven't been alone a day of my life since the day I got saved. Hallelujah. He's with me always, even into the ends of the earth. And He'll help me and He won't forsake me. And all I know is like that little lady said one time years ago, she was hurting. She wasn't real educated. She didn't have any money. But she said, Lord, all I know is if I was up there and You were down here, I'd sure help You. Amen. I believe that. I believe God cares about me. Cast all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. That's what the Bible says. Amen? So I don't know what you believe. I don't know what scripture you're standing on, but you need to be standing on His Word. His Word. And your eye and your focus should be on Him and His character and His nature and who He is. See, Moses endured to see in Him who is invisible. Hebrews 11 says that. I love that. He endured. He made it through the tough times as seeing Him who is invisible. All kinds of good principles, all kinds of good sayings, all kinds of good formulas, impact statements I could give you. But if I don't tag it with a verse, and I don't tag it with God said it, and this is my wisdom, then when the trial comes and the tough time comes, you'll probably just give in because it was the word of Michael. But if it's the word of God, you'll know it's true and it's going to work. You hang in there. It's got to come to pass. God can't lie. Hallelujah. God's for us. He's not against us. That's why I don't want to just teach principles outside of God, because they have to be God's principles, or we'll lose our faith. Our faith will be in a principle instead of our faith in God. This is not something I've discovered. It's not something you've discovered. This is God's word. This is God we're talking about. God loves you. He's for you. He's not against you. He wants you to come to him. He wants you to pray and believe him. Hallelujah. Amen. John 5, notice what it says, 39th verse. Search the scripture, for in them you think you have eternal life. They are they which testify of me, and you will not come to me that you might have life. Oh my goodness, y'all get that? So the scripture is only the scripture, and it's only the word of God to the point that it takes you to Jesus. Oh. Oh, that's strong stuff. Y'all get that? I don't think you got that. This, you say this is the word of God. Well, only to the point that it takes you to Jesus it is. Because if you never get to Jesus, it's just a book. It's just a book with a bunch of words in it. But if it takes you to Jesus, it becomes the word of God. Now, you don't have life in the scripture. You have life in Jesus. You can lay that Bible on your heart every night before you go to bed, and it will not save you. Any version you want. Hello. If you don't get to Jesus, you missed it. Because it is only the word of God to the point that it takes you to Jesus. And the object of our faith is not a scripture. Although I'm a word man, I love the word. You understand the context of this. We need scripture. We need promises. We need the map. I thank God for the map because it lays out before us what we should do and say. But it points a map points you to somewhere. It gets you. It's showing you a destination. And the Bible is a map. And without it, we'll be lost because we don't know what to do or how to pray or what to say. But the object of a map is to get you somewhere. And the object of the Bible is always to get you to Jesus. Where your faith is in Jesus, not in just a verse. Not in just a promise. Okay? Boy, you could soundbite this and it almost sounds blasphemous, but you understand what I'm saying. I do believe in the promise. I do believe in the scripture. I do believe it's the word of God as it takes you to Jesus. Yes. But I think that's where we missed it in many cases, because we don't have a clear picture who God is. We love him. We've accepted him. We've received him. But we see him as somebody beyond all these things that he said, basically. You know, he might do it. He might not do it. No. That's not the God of the Bible. That's not Jesus. Jesus was a healer. Jesus was a miracle worker. Jesus was a lover of humanity. Jesus a life giver, a storm stopper. Hallelujah. That's how I see God, through Jesus. And so when I come to him on something I find he said here, I got no problem believing what he said because I know him. Woo. Y'all getting this? See, I know the power of God behind all this. Two things Jesus said the Pharisees had a problem with. He says, first, he said, you don't know the scripture and you don't know the power of God. The power of God being him behind it, the one behind the scripture. All right, I still got a few minutes here. Y'all get anything out of this? Okay, I know y'all are really thinking, aren't you? Mark 6 chapter. Let's just go over an example of this. Mark the 6th chapter. And this is repeated if you're writing notes in the 13th chapter of Matthew, but Mark's account. Here's what it says. Mark 6, chapter 6, verse. 6, verse 6. Then he went out from there and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. I like that. He went to his own country. Went to his own hometown. Went to where he was raised up, where everybody knew him from a child. And when the Sabbath had come, that was Saturday, that's when they worshiped Jews, met on Sabbath and went to synagogue. He began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him that such mighty works are performed by his hands? Listen, is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? So they were offended to him. Well, who does he think he is? I was raised up. I know him. Who does he think he is talking like that? So see, they didn't get anything he said because of the way they saw him. Isn't that right? I've had the same experience. I remember talking witness to Bubba Bush. Guy I knew back in the day, you know, before I got saved from Center, Texas. I was working on a job, and he was working on the same job. Several of us from Center working on that job. I'd gotten saved. I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, completely washed in the blood and turned around, got out of drugs and jails and all kinds of stuff and, you know, and alcohol and everything else. And I was witnessing to Bubba, and I said, that's it. That's what they call him, Bubba. I don't even know if he had another name. Bubba's what we always call him, Bubba. But anyway, I said, Bubba, you need Jesus. I tell you, you just need you need what I've got. I accepted Jesus, you know, and he's my life. He cleaned me up and saved me and set me free. And, you know, everything I've been looking for, I found in him, and I was witness to him. He looked at me and said, Michael Williams. He said, I know you, Michael Williams. He said, if you're saved, I'm saved. If you're going to heaven, I'm going to heaven. See, the problem was he did not know me. He knew who I was, but he didn't know who I used to be, but he didn't know who I was right then. Yeah. And because of him seeing me as I used to be, didn't hear a word I said. Yeah. Are you with me? Now, I hope Bubba got saved. I don't know anything. It's been years and years and years, and I haven't seen Bubba or had contact with him. So, you know, I hope he did get saved. I hope he did accept Jesus. I know a lot of my friends did over the years. One of them in that bunch, in that group, was Don Murphy, who now pastors in my hometown. But I witnessed to him for years, you know, before he got saved. And we were all in that kind of, you know, back, that bunch from Center, Texas. We were sinners in Center. I was a Center sinner. And then I got saved. But you know why he didn't receive? Because he couldn't see me other than the way I used to be. So the message is lost many times because of our perception of the messenger. And because we don't know God and we don't know about God like we should and our concept of God's wrong, the promises don't mean a thing. They might work, they might not work, but not knowing him, they're not going to work. In fact, let's go on a little further. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, brother James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Big family. They knew the kids, they knew the mama, they knew the sisters and brothers, they knew everybody. He was a hometown boy. They knew exactly who he was. Are not his sisters here with us? So they were offended at him. Who does he think he is standing up there on that pulpit telling us what God's saying? Hello? Sometimes you can get so familiar with a pastor also that you don't see the anointing. You know, the office that I would say. When I stand in office as a pastor and I'm up here ministering, that doesn't mean I'm any better than anybody else. In fact, I do my best not to preach down to you, but to preach with you. We're all in this thing together. But sometimes you can see me off the pulpit, maybe a little quirky, you know, or you know, I'm just not necessarily preaching 90 to nothing every single time I'm talking to you. You know, you can look at that and not separate that instance from me standing in the pulpit and not receive a thing from me. Or you don't like my hair, or you don't like the sweater I have on, or are you with me? Or I'm too old, or I'm too young, or I'm too heavy, or I'm too skinny, or too short, too tall. You know, I don't know what the mold is. We need to write that up and find out what a perfect pastor is. But we miss the anointing, we miss the office because we can't get past the person. Now, I know that's the case, and you know it is too. There's a lot of ministers out there I have a hard time receiving from. It's not really what they're saying per se. It's just the way they're saying it or their accent or their the way they look. I have to get past that. Are you out there? And it's wrong, and we judge that way, don't we? We look on the outside. We look. But if you really knew the person, it might change everything. If you really knew their heart and really knew where they were coming from. You might find out this is a good man. That's a good woman. That's, you know, are you with me? Yeah. So in this case, they just couldn't get past common folk around there. He's just like everybody else. I mean, come on, who's he think he is? Fourth verse, but Jesus said, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, in his own house. Sometimes the hardest people to minister to is your family. Yeah. It really is, because they know you from a kid, you know. And it's sometimes the hardest thing to do. Or close friends that you've had before you were saved, and then you got saved. Sometimes they're hard to reach. Fifth verse. Now, he could do no mighty work there. Didn't say he would not do. It said he could do no mighty work there. Except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them, and he marveled because of their unbelief. And then he went about the villages in a circuit teaching, because that's the cure for unbelief, is teaching. Teach the word and your faith will grow. A lack of the word, you'll have a lack of faith. Amen. If you don't know what God says, you can't believe what God says. Pure and simple. Amen. But they didn't receive from him and from the scripture. I'm sure he was quoting scripture, and if it wasn't scripture that he was quoting, it became scripture when he quoted it. Because he was the word, and everything he said was the word, right? But they couldn't believe what he said, and they couldn't receive from what he said because they didn't see him for who he is. And our problem many times is not necessarily a problem with the word or the promises per se. Our problem many times is our perception of who Jesus really is. And does he really care? Are you out there? See, we got to get that thing straight. We got to keep him in the forefront. We got to keep our focus on him when we're believing him. And his words are as good as he is. They're as good as he is. And however you perceive how good he is will depend on how much faith you put in what he says. Woo! The New Living Translation in that fourth verse through the sixth verse says, "And then Jesus told them, a prophet is honored everywhere except in his own hometown, among his relatives and his own family. And because of their unbelief, he couldn't do any miracles among them, except to place his hands on a few sick people and heal them, and he was amazed at their unbelief." Now, it didn't say he would not, it said he could not. This same instance in Matthew 13:58 says, "He did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief." So when you think about it, what happened? They limited him. Just like we do. And the reason they limited him is because they didn't see him for who he really was. Woo, hallelujah. That's good stuff. That's better preaching. Y'all are amening. So if we get him straight in our thinking, it's not that he heals. It's that he is a healer. It's not just that he saves. It's that he is a savior. Let's go to the next step. He's not just a savior. He's my savior. He's not just a healer. He's my healer. He's not just a shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. See, David got it. David was a man after God's own heart. That's what the Bible says. He saw God for who he was. And every time he'd run into a situation, he'd bring God into the conversation. In fact, when he faced Goliath, he said this. He said, "Goliath, he didn't even have a covenant with God. He's got no agreement, no contract, no agreement. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? We belong to God, okay? So God protects us. God takes care of us." Like Trump said in inauguration speech, he said, "We are protected by the greatest army, the army military in the world, the military of the United States of America, and we're protected by God." Are you with me? See, David knew his God, and when he faced Goliath, he didn't look at the size of Goliath. He looked at the size of God. And then he rehearsed his testimonies. He says, "A lion came up and tried to get some sheep that I was keeping, and I grabbed that lion by the beard, and I slew that lion. And then a bear came along and took one of the sheep, and I took that lamb right out of the paw of that bear and killed that bear." And then he said this. He said, "The same God who delivered me out of the paw of the bear and the mouth of the lion, that same God will deliver me out of the hand of this uncircumcised Philistine, seeing he's defied the armies of the living God." He knew his God. Oh, he knew the promises, but he knew the God of the promise. Oh, I love it. Praise God. I got a relationship with God. How about you? I love him. He loves me. Praise God. Me and the devil, we both agree. I hate him and he hates me. But God and I agree too. I love him. He loves me. He's for me. Praise God. He's crazy about me. He'd do anything for me. Goodness gracious, more than I would for any of my kids or grandkids. My little granddaughters can come up and just turn that head a little bit and smile, and I'll do anything for them. Hello? But why do I have this idea? I got to beg and moan and groan and get God to move. God already promised us. He already said he would do it. He really does. He cares about us. He really does. So standing on a promise and finding something that he said he would do, that shouldn't be a problem. We're not standing on a principle. We're not standing on just a verse. We're standing on God's character and his nature. And God is good. Amen. He's good. He's good all the time. Hallelujah. Praise God. Man, there's so many I could get to here. I'm just thinking of scripture as scripture we ought to go to. Mark, I tell you, turn to. Yeah, why not? Mark 9. Mark 9 chapter. And we'll close this out. Praise God. Woo, hallelujah. Mm-mm. Man, I'm so glad I came today. Woo! Lit my fire. Float my boat. Come on. Mark 9 is where Jesus went up the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter, James, and John. And while he was up there, down below the mountain, you know, in the valley, this man comes up and he has a son that was a devil, and he tried to get the other disciples to cast him out. Everybody say other disciples. Okay, Peter, James, John weren't there. Jesus wasn't there. But then he comes down the mountain, and this man comes up to Jesus in Mark 9, and he tells the story about his son having a dumb spirit, and he couldn't speak. He tried to get the disciples help, and they couldn't help. And in the 23rd verse, no, 22nd verse, and oft times the man's still speaking about his son. He said, and oft times it, this demon, cast him into the fire, his son into the fire, and into the waters to destroy him. Tries to drown him or burn him, you know. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Okay, there's an if in there. Y'all see that if? Okay. So what this man had a problem with, he didn't realize it, and Jesus did get on his case about it. He had his concept of God was maybe he would, maybe he wouldn't. And maybe he has compassion, maybe he doesn't. Maybe he cares, maybe he doesn't care. But if he does care, you know, maybe he'll help my son. So maybe we'll catch him on a day he cares. Are you with me? Or maybe I can talk him into caring. Maybe that'll work. Maybe I could talk him, because I don't really know if he does, and he may not, and sometimes he does, and sometimes he doesn't. You know God. You know, hey, sometimes he feels like a nut, sometimes he doesn't, you know. You know God, he's bipolar, you know, he's schizophrenic. You just don't know which one you're going to meet when you get up there one day. You know, he might be mad, might be, you know. Well, that's really what we're saying. I mean, it sounds, you know, sacrilegious, and it is, but we do it when we pray. And so Jesus didn't really like that. It says here in 23rd verse, Jesus says, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. He didn't say, if I care. I care. But I can't do anything if you don't believe. I'm not the problem. I love you. I'm for you. I want your son free. But you have got to believe me in order to get it done. The question is not, do I care? The question is not, do I have compassion? No, no, no. That's not the question. That actually is insulting. That makes it sound like I'm random about what I do. That makes it sound like I'm a God that sometimes cares and sometimes doesn't. I'm a God that maybe has compassion, maybe doesn't have compassion. And if you catch me on a good day, maybe I'll heal him. That is the wrong question, and that's the wrong approach. Jesus said, anytime you believe, anywhere you believe in anyone who believes. Come on. If you believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. The problem is a problem of believing me and trusting me, not a problem of who I am. I am good. I do care. I have compassion. I am a healer. I am a miracle worker. That's what Jesus is. You just don't get it yet. You got to change your thinking. Are you out there? And the man got it. Thank God he got it. He said in the next verse, straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. I see that I'm the issue, not you. God's never the issue. Do you know that? He is never the issue. He's for you. He's not against you. He's on your side. He loves you. He's, you know, it's just we got to get clear the fog and get a clear picture of him and who he is. And our concept of him has got to be accurate and true if his word's going to work for us. Because his word only works to the degree that we understand who he is.
Exactly.
Y'all catch it? And if our concept's wrong, no promise is going to help us. We're not going to receive it. It's not going to work for us because our concept's wrong of God. The reason all this stuff's so good is because he's good.
Yeah.
Man, I don't know about you. That's stirring me up. Okay, New Living says this. On this ninth chapter of Mark, 23rd verse, Jesus said, "What do you mean if I can?" Jesus asked, "Anything's possible if a person believes."
Yeah.
In other words, that's a dumb question. If I can. Of course I can. If I have compassion. Of course I have compassion. That's not the right question. Anything's possible if you believe. If a person believes. And the father instantly cried out, "I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief." Wow, that's powerful stuff, isn't it? Isn't that good?
Yeah.
Praise God. Now, how many times, of course, I mentioned a couple, but you could think in your, just think going over verses in the Bible, miracles in the Bible that took place in Jesus' ministry. How many times her faith made her whole? Your faith has made you whole. Do you believe I'm able to do this? Come on. They limited the Holy One of Israel, Psalm 78, in the wilderness. They provoked God. They said, "Can God provide in the wilderness? Can God provide? Can God?" Well, yes, he can. Yes, he can. Don't you question whether he can. He can. The question is, can you believe? Amen? Can God save? That wasn't the question. Can you believe he saves you? That was the question when you got saved, wasn't it? Whether you believed on Jesus or not. It wasn't a matter of whether he believed in you or he loved you. God so loved the world, he gave his own begotten Son, and whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You got saved when you believe. You didn't get saved when God decided to be nice to you one day. He did that 2,000 years ago, if truth be known. He'd been waiting for 2,000 years for you to accept that offer. Woo! Well, stand up with us, if you would. That help you?
Praise God.
Praise God.